Please be seated. For those of you that I don't know, my name is Zeb Henson. I am your 2019 Diaconate Stewardship Committee Chair, and I am pleased to be up here for this one Sunday joint Sunday school hour. I want you, just for a second, feel free to just kind of look around the room. Just turn your heads, look at the people that are in here, think about the people that were just here in worship with us together, because among other things, one Sunday is a celebration of the corporate nature of our call to follow Christ. It's a celebration of the togetherness of our mission. That's what we aim to give thanks for this morning. That's what we aim to worship through and to celebrate, because in a church that's filled with various important ministries that plug many of us into discipleship and mission through lots of smaller groups of people, it's really encouraging, I hope, to look around and see all the people, to see all the people in this local body that make up that together. That's why we've been gathering for 3 years now in a row to do this, so that no matter what our particular area of service is, we're reminded that we exist as a people, a collective group called to be on mission together. So I'm going to lay out for you in just a second what the next half hour or so will look like as we celebrate the corporate nature of our call and the service being done all around us day in and day out. Before I do that, let's unite our hearts in prayer. So would you bow your heads with me? Our Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you've existed from all eternity in perfect fellowship, and we come to you this morning as a people. We confess that once we were not a people, but by your good grace to us, we are now your people, called together to be on mission. And Lord, we thank you for the corporate nature of that call. We thank you for the countless stories of your people acting out this call towards one another. And Lord, as we hear just a few of those stories this morning, we pray that you would be among us, O Holy Spirit, that you would lift our eyes not to the speakers, not even to this church, but to Christ, and that we would see his love incarnated through the work of one another in this room. For we pray it in his name. Amen. So no doubt you've seen this year's stewardship verse on various materials over the last few weeks. If you didn't receive an annual report in the mail in the last couple weeks, they're posted all around the church this morning. I encourage you to grab one, to look at all the things that are being done in and among your midst week after week that you may not even know is happening. Our verse this year comes from 1 Peter, a book we've been studying each Sunday morning. It comes from chapter 4, and it reminds us that one of the ways that we live out our mission together is through our generosity and our service to one another. The verse reads, as we've already heard this morning from Ben, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So our purpose during this Sunday school is quite simply to show you through the stories of real people here in our midst, the way that your generosity and the generosity of those sitting next to you in these pews is making real the principles of this verse week after week in this church. Brothers and sisters, your service matters. We've already heard that from Ben, and we've heard it from David. Your service matters. Your hospitality matters. Yes, your giving matters. And they matter in the lives of one another in this room. They matter in the lives of people in this city and people even beyond that. When you give financially, when you volunteer, when you open your home, when you serve as a steward in so many ways, you're affecting real people with gospel truth. So that's the one point of our Sunday school. It's a one-point Sunday school. One-point Sunday school. When you give financially, when you volunteer, when you open your home, and when you serve as a steward in so many other ways, you're affecting real people with gospel truth. So I'm incredibly thankful to have three members up here to help make that one point. Honestly, many of you could be up here because you have stories similar to theirs. You might be thankful that you're not, but you could be. These three have agreed to share part of their story for how the ministries in this church and the generosity shown by many of you have made eternal impacts in their life. So I'm going to introduce our three speakers. They're going to come up here one at a time, not necessarily with their whole story, but with a snapshot of how God has impacted them and their families through many of you. So our speakers this morning are Bill Lash, Bowen Thigpen, and Jill Dale. Bill's going to come first, and then Bowen and Jill will follow in that order, after which I'm going to come up back up here with some concluding thoughts before we go to lunch. But I want you, as you listen to their story, I want you to be in thought about considering your own story. Consider how the stewardship of others, even in this room, how their generosity has impacted you in the same way that Bill, that Bowen, and that Jill will be able to share that part of their story. So, Bill.
Good morning. It's a wonderful privilege to have been given the opportunity to speak on Stewardship Sunday. A little intimidating to come up the steps into this pulpit, though, I have to admit. Today's one church reminds me of Paul and his instruction to the Corinthians in chapter 12, that he says that the church is one body, yet many members. Today, it's not the 8:30 worship church, it's not the 11 o'clock church, it's the one church gathered together in Christ. He also goes on and says something else that I think we should hear. In verse 8, he says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired." We are all gathered here this morning as one body because God desired it to be so. He has put each one of us in First Presbyterian Church, and we are here for Him because He desires us to be. Each one of us owe Him our love, our service, and our obedience. To speak on the stewardship theme, I'm just going to come with four brief words. The first, history. How did Linda and I get here? We came to First Press for evening worship services back in January of 2018. Where we were didn't have Sunday evening services. Being here was good as we were able to end the Lord's Day with worship after having missed it for almost 2 years. Then we saw that First Press had Wednesday evening services all year long. We desired that. We desired for more rather than less. So we moved our membership and became members in March of 2018. And then there's worship, the one activity that we will be doing throughout all eternity. And we are in preparation for it every Lord's Day as we gather. But we are thankful that the First Presbyterian Church worships God as He has commanded us to do. He is glorified in every aspect of our service. He is the center of our worship. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our exalted Savior, is lifted up and proclaimed in the gospel every Sunday. That and many other reasons, Linda and I look forward to coming together with you all on the Lord's Day in corporate worship. Service. Soon after we joined, we were asked if we would volunteer to help with the VBS. We said yes, and boy, are we thankful we did. Because we again realized something that you've heard, and even David reminded me as recently as Wednesday night. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Since we have received so many blessings being here and much grace, and knowing that to whom much is given, much is required, we are thankful that God gives us those opportunities. He's blessed us with our salvation, and He has given us an example that He says Himself, "I came not to be served, but to serve." And there are numerous opportunities in this church for every member actually to have the opportunity to serve. Would you ask God to give you a spirit of willingness and then consider where you see that opportunity for you. We, some say, hit the deck running and got involved. But really, that is the greatest blessing that we can have, being involved and sharing the joy of serving Christ, making disciples, and being here, just being here. And then finally, there's prayer. Prayer is the ministry. What God has faithfully done from the very beginning of First Presbyterian Church and continues to do today, I believe it is because First Presbyterian Church is a praying church. There is more prayer taking place than you may realize. Just a few. There's the Saturday morning men's prayer breakfast. I got to get the plug in. Please join us for that time of prayer. There's prayer before the worship services every Lord's Day. There's prayer in small groups before the forum in Miller Hall, in the D groups, in the Sunday school classes. We owe much to the ministry of prayer for God's blessing upon us. And we need to be obedient because He commands us in Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. May the Holy Spirit encourage us to pray regularly and often for our church. Linda and I thank God for placing us here among the saints who are faithfully serving Him with their time, their talents, and their gifts. He gave us His all. We owe Him our all. Thank you.
Good morning. It's a pleasure being with you all on this special Lord's Day, where we as a whole church can gather together in worship and in fellowship. My story, I don't believe, is all that unique in the life of this church. In fact, I know it is similar to many others. It's a testament to the hearts of members in our body who respond to their call to go and make disciples. My story in the life of this congregation begins with, amongst others, my great friend David Felker. I'm a Jacksonian, having spent the first 18 years of my life here, yet I didn't grow up in this church. My wife, Kaylee, is not from Jackson originally and had no church connection in the city. David, as he has done with many others, found out that we are moving to Jackson. Having met maybe once before, David found my contact info and invited me to have coffee with him, where he invited us to a young adult Sunday school. This likely doesn't seem like a significant event to you, but to me it was incredibly special. Coming from college, a season where opportunities for friendships and community seemed to be endless, we were concerned that we might have trouble finding that here in our new home, especially as a newly married couple. The Lord used His servant, David Felker, to answer the prayers of two 23-year-olds that day. It didn't take much, and that's kind of the point. David was simply doing his job, but it had a profound effect on me. If he could have coffee with a guy he didn't really know and invite him into his church body, why couldn't I say yes when he would later ask if I would help play music for a Thursday night fellowship, or help plan social events for our Sunday school class, or form a team for a golf scramble this spring? Despite what we may think, serving others makes a difference. My story hopefully shows how something seemingly inconsequential can in fact have great consequence. I do not claim to be a world changer or even to have made a lasting mark, but here's how the Lord has worked through a simple cup of coffee and an invitation to visit the young adult Sunday school in my life. It challenged me to become as involved as possible in our young people community, from social events to supper clubs to small groups. It allowed Kaylee and I to form deep friendships with others in our church and continue to make new ones. It caused me to want to be a part of Wednesday nights here, where we share a meal and spend intentional time praying for the life of our church and its members. It was the first step in an answer to prayers for a community of believers. In the same sense, consider what even a small monetary pledge could do for the lives of others. It allows First Pres to have ministries tailored to the needs of specific groups of people. It allows us to financially support and partner with local organizations. It allows us to send out long-term missionaries to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Please prayerfully consider answering the call to give back to God. Something that seems insignificant to you can make a significant difference in the life of another. I was reminded just last week as we welcomed new members into our church family of the membership vows each of us has taken. Question 4 asked, do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability? The explanation of why this question matters was extremely convicting to me as I was reading. It says, since each person of the Trinity is interested and invested in the church, we who are called by his name must do likewise. May we who are members of the covenant community pray for the welfare of the church and the First Presbyterian Church. May we seek to live lives in which the gospel has pervaded every sphere. May we be growing disciples seeking to learn more of our God, his great majesty, and his magnificent fatherhood. May we grow as committed members by regularly worshiping and seeking to gather with our family as often as we are provided opportunities. May we grow to love the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, to me, is the essence of this stewardship season and specifically of this morning. In a church body as large as ours, there are countless ways to serve others around you. When asked to do so, I challenge you to prayerfully consider stepping out in faith. When you answer the call to serve the church, it will not only impact those who you are serving, but will also have an impact on you. I hope that you and I can always be looking for these coffee cup moments. You never know what it'll turn into. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Jill Dell, and my husband David and I have 3 children, Avery, Campbell, and Stella Grace. We have been members of First Presbyterian Church since 2011. I began attending Mom's Bible study on Wednesday mornings not long after we joined. I just started staying home with the twins and wanted to get involved in a women's Bible study, and I'd always heard wonderful things about this ministry, and they would come to be an important part of our lives. In February of 2014, our lives changed dramatically. Our son Campbell was diagnosed with stage 4 rhabdomyosarcoma. Many of you know his story, and many of you prayed for him. I'll never forget receiving a picture from Anna Henson the following Wednesday of every woman in that room at Mom's Bible study on their knees interceding for us and for Campbell. It was humbling to see that and to know that while we were at the hospital only a couple of miles away from the church, a group of women were praying for Campbell, our family, and our doctors. Over the course of the next 18 months, those women and the entire church prayed faithfully for our family. Pink cards were sent to us weekly, sometimes throughout the week. Several elders came to our house to lay hands on Campbell and pray with our family not long after his diagnosis. It was a sweet time of fellowship, especially since we had not been able to attend church as a family since he was diagnosed. And when we left Batson to go to St. Jude for that last attempt to cure him, David Strain and Ralph Kelly brought a care package full of cards and pink cards meant to encourage us and to let us know that although we were now 3 hours away, the church was still praying for our family and ministering to us. Meals were cooked and left on our doorstep. The flower committee would bring flowers to our house that were taken from the arrangement on Sundays. The church as a whole ministered to us through these small but significant ways. The church was the hands and feet of Jesus to us during those long days, lifting us up, supporting us, and caring for us in so many different ways. I'll never forget that not long after Campbell was diagnosed, actually I think about 2 or 3 months, David Strain was called to be the senior minister. My David and I would laugh, thinking he must think we are crazy. Our child acts so awful when he would come to visit us. I was embarrassed many times because if you know Campbell, you know that he did not take to change very well or new people at all. But even then, you could see God at work as David Strain became a consistent source of encouragement to our family, and Campbell eventually began to warm up to him. I'll never forget the morning of September 18th. Wiley Lowry and David came by the house checking on us. It was in Campbell's last days, this was a common occurrence. My David had told me that morning when he woke up, he thought for some reason this would be the day that Campbell went home. That morning, we all sat on our bed with Campbell and prayed over him. That relationship that started out somewhat awkward had grown into something beautiful. Campbell passed away that afternoon on September the 18th, 2015, surrounded by all those who loved him. The next day, David came to the house so we could plan Campbell's funeral. So many people in the church wanted to be there and help in so many ways. We didn't have to think about much because the church had stepped in again, as they had done so many times for us over the course of Campbell's life. On Sunday afternoon, September the 20th, David Strain and several members of the congregation came to our house for a time of worship and celebration of Campbell's life. We had a church service in our house where we sang hymns of thankfulness and praise, had a time of prayer, and heard precious words of hope given by our minister. That time was such a sweet reminder of the importance of the gathering of God's people to celebrate life and the hope of the gospel, that this world is not our home, only a temporary stop on our journey to our forever home. Campbell's funeral was held on September the 22nd, almost 4 years to the day he was baptized. His casket was placed exactly in the place we stood with him, dedicating him to the Lord, right down here. And 2 years later, almost 2 years to the exact day we celebrated his life and sang "It Is Well," we baptized Stella Grace in the exact same place Campbell's casket was placed. And since that beautiful day that Campbell closed his eyes here on earth and opened them to see his Savior, the church has continued to care for us, minister to us, mourn with us, and celebrate with us as we welcome Stella Grace into the world. First Presbyterian Day School continues to minister to our family, and especially to Avery. To know that every day when she walks through the doors of this church to this school, we know she is being looked after and taken care of. We are so thankful for the wonderful teachers and staff that care about her. Listen to her and let her crawl in their lap to cry on some of those hard days. I have continued Mom's Bible study, even in those hard months after Campbell passed away. I would sit on the back row listening, through tears many times, to the wonderful teachers that God has blessed our church with. Teachers that teach the gospel and share the hope of the gospel. The hope that through our present sufferings, he is refining us, molding us into who he created us to be. That although there is pain and suffering in this world, he has a greater purpose and plan. Suffering can be a lonely thing. It's something I didn't expect and you can never really prepare for. Also know it is hard for many people to enter into that grief with you. Many within this church entered into our grief with us, even if it meant just to come and sit in silence with us. That's one of the many things we have learned through Campbell's life and death. We always would make the comment in the hospital, "I don't know how people endure something like this without faith." I would also venture to say, I don't know how many people would endure the suffering and pain in this world without being a part of a community of believers. We are thankful for this community of believers that has been there to bear our burdens with us.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Bowen. Thank you, Bill. What I've asked of them this morning is, in one regard, not necessarily easy. This pulpit is an intimidating place. Trust me, I feel it right now, even acutely. When you look out on a room full of friendly faces, it's still a little bit of a difficult thing to do. But on the other hand, I think what I asked of them was an easy ask. It was easy because each of them carries a conviction in their story. A conviction that God has been at work in their lives and the lives of their families through the ministry and the generosity of you in this room. And that's easy to talk about. Maybe not in front of, 600 people or whatever, but easy in the sense that it's real and that it's genuine. And that your stewardship, your generosity, your service make a difference week in and week out. So thank you to the three of you again. We would not have wanted to do this without them. Now next week, David is going to walk us through a little bit our stewardship verse from the pulpit. But I would like for you to think about that verse particularly a little bit this week as you even prepare to make a commitment next Lord's Day. And one of the things that jumps out to me and to our committee about this particular stewardship verse is the recognition that each of us has received a gift. There's an each, there's an all, there is an every one of us to the gifts that we have received and what the Lord can choose to do with those. It's easy, I think, to think about stewardship as an individual discipline only. What I do, what I give, how I serve, that's between me and God, right? Well, Peter's not going to let us do that. He's going to remind us that we're using those gifts to serve one another. And that's exactly what we've heard from Bill, from Bowen, and from Jill. So hear that as an encouragement. That what you're doing, the pink cards, the meals in the freezer, the golf scrambles, the cups of coffee, the prayer meetings, they matter. And they matter eternally. And so as David has just opened up for us from Nehemiah 4, press on. Press on in your stewardship. All for God's glory. Not for the glory of this church. Not for your own glory. But all for God's glory. I want to leave you with an illustration before we head off to lunch. This is an illustration from my own house. And hopefully it'll paint a picture of what this verse, these stories, even Nehemiah 4, has been encouraging us towards all morning. This illustration is actually going to come, I brought him, with Mr. Seven Hands. I know you can't see him from where he is, but Mr. Seven Hands belongs to my son Sam. This is his multi-purpose tool. It's got a little black handle and lots of little screwdrivers and other sorts of things that I can't name. That's my own fault. That you can attach to the head of this. This is Sam's pride and joy. Sam is 9. Sam's room looks like a tidal wave of Lego pieces crashed onto it. It's one of those rooms you don't walk in barefoot. Sometimes he can't find the left shoe that goes with the right shoe, even though they just came off 2 minutes ago. But he always knows where Mr. Seven Hands is. He always knows where his tool is. Because it's his tool, and it's what he can use around the house when the house needs his workmanship. But here's our little secret this morning. And if you tell him I said this, I'm going to deny it, right? Mr. Seven Hands, as tools go, is a pretty flimsy tool. And in Sam's hands, Mr. Seven Hands can accomplish not much. Sometimes it even creates more problems than we began with. And I wonder sometimes if that's how you assess your own version of God's varied grace to you. Your own gift that you've received. Is it a flimsy tool stuck in an unskilled hand? You assess it as a small gift from an even smaller giver? But here's the great part about Mr. Seven Hands. When my father-in-law, Sam's grandfather, who in Sam's eyes can fix anything, comes to our house for a repair job, Sam sprints to his room, grabs Mr. Seven Hands, and takes his tool to his grandfather. And then the most stewardship-looking thing I can imagine happens. My father-in-law wraps his hand around Sam's, as Sam wraps his hand around his flimsy little Mr. Seven Hands, and real work, work that makes a difference in our house, starts to happen. Sam and Mr. Seven Hands transformed from being a cute but ineffective tool into an instrument for real work as Sam's hand is wrapped in his grandfather's. And then when the work is done, this is the other great picture of it. When the work is done, both of them take a step back. And Sam looks with satisfaction on the work that's been done. But his grandfather looks at Sam. He looks at Sam with the graciously condescending love that only a grandfather can show. Now, it might be tempting to go look into my father-in-law's truck and tell him that he's got better tools, that he has other people or other instruments that could do the job more efficiently. Often that's what we do in our hearts when it comes to stewardship season, isn't it? We remind God that there are others with better skills, more money available to him. But you see, my father-in-law is not interested in Sam assessing the other tools in his truck. He's not really even interested in doing the job the most efficient and seamless way he can. He's interested in doing the work with his grandson. His work is more joyful when he wraps his hand around his grandson's, uses their flimsy tool for the work at hand, than it ever would be had his grandson not partnered with him. Both grandfather and grandson share in a communion and a fellowship that is accomplished only as the grandfather works through the grandson to complete the task at hand. And I think you can see where this is going, right? You and I live lives that sell our Heavenly Father far too short when we hold back our gifts and we hold back our service because we think it's not enough to make a difference. And then we miss out on the sweet fellowship He's offering us when we fail to partner with Him in our service, in our stewardship, in our generosity, in our giving. You see, God's not asking us to give only if we feel like we can make a difference in our own self-assessment. He's telling us to give of the gifts we have to the utmost that we can, and then watch Him make a difference in His kingdom, as He's done with the three of them, as He's done with countless of you out here this morning. And one other thing to drive this example home. Guess where Sam got Mr. Seven Hands? He got it from his grandfather. His grandfather gave Sam his tool, and now they partner together using it. I think you can see the connection there, right? I don't have to paint that one. Where do our gifts come from? And who invites us to use them with him? So in conclusion, if you've been on the sidelines when it comes to giving or serving, you're not yet sacrificially invested, won't you pray this week, but really in the weeks and months to come, that God would open your eyes to your individual call to generosity, to the benefits your service and giving can have on those around you, as you've just heard, the benefits it can have on the neighborhood and the city around us, and the glory that He will receive as He takes your hand in His and real ministry work happens through you with gifts He's given you. Because as we said at the beginning, when we give financially, when we volunteer, when we open our home, when we get a cup of coffee with somebody, when we write a pink card, when we join at the Saturday morning prayer meeting, whatever it may be, we're affecting real people with the gospel truth by God's grace and for His glory. And so now, in celebration of this togetherness that we go on task together, we're going to share a meal. I've asked Billy to come up here and give us some instructions towards that, to pray for our lunch, to pray for our stewardship season as well. As he makes his way up here, I want to remind many of you, you showed up with kids today, right? And you've got to leave with those kids today. So we ask you, if you have children in the nursery, in the children's Sunday school, as we head towards lunch, please kind of walk with purpose to get them so that those who are giving their time to Sunday school and nursery and such can make sure they get to join us for lunch as well. So, Billy, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Zebulun. Good morning. Great day. Oh, wow. Great day at First Pres. Glad you're here. Glad you're here to think about stewardship together. And now you're thinking about lunch, and I think you should be. It's going to be very good. A couple of things before we talk about lunch. One, if you are one of those who's parked on State Street, that outside lane, Our permission to park cars there expires at 12 o'clock. So before you head to lunch, if you're parked in that one of those spaces, you need to go ahead and move your car so that you won't get a ticket or worse, get towed. I think towing is the option. So you want to move your car before you go to the lunch line. We've got two places set for lunch today. We've got Miller Hall set up for lunch, and we've got the gym. Obviously, we can't accommodate everybody in both places, so I'm going to do this. If you're seated on this side of the sanctuary and in the balcony, I'm going to ask that you, when I dismiss you after the prayer, that you go to the gym. And if you would, if you'd be so kind as to use this outside sidewalk and just walk up those concrete steps into the double doors entering the gym, that would be most helpful. If you need to use the elevator, certainly you go through the building to the study center elevators, and of course you know that'll put you out on the second floor. You go to the gym from there. But otherwise, if you could walk up that outdoor sidewalk, it will just help us move people more efficiently. If you all would go to Miller Hall, that would be great. And you don't have to walk outside to do that. You can just stay in the building and do that. If you are an 11 o'clock usher and you've received an assignment from Hall or from David Hall Bailey or David Baird, then you need to scurry to your duty post. Please do so. If you're an 11 o'clock usher and you haven't received an assignment from Hall Bailey or David Baird, there is one for you. You have an assignment. Find them and find out what it is as we make this transition from Sunday school to lunch. Let's see. The centerpieces are all open. My wife has thrown away all the boxes that those things came in. You may have the centerpieces. So if you don't want them, perhaps a loved one, a neighbor would like a nice flower, a basket. Please, they do not go back to my house except the charger plates. Debbie Dempsey will be on your doorstep before you get home if you leave here with her charger plates. She wants the charger plates back at her house, but everything else goes, so please take advantage of that. Please take all the centerpieces. Parents, if you would go through the line with your children so that your children take for themselves a reasonable portion of food. I don't think I need to spell that out anymore. One of the great joys of a meal like this is working together. We had a marvelous day yesterday with the men and many of our women here working to set up. It was a great time, and we want to have as much fun today taking down and cleaning up. So if you would please be willing, men and young men, junior high, senior high men, young adult men, it won't take us long, but we need lots of hands. Many hands make light work. So David Case is our team captain for cleanup and takedown. See David or see me as our lunch kind of winds down, and we will put you to work quickly and easily. I promise you it will not be painful, but we need help. All the tables and chairs in the gym especially, they all live someplace else. They've got to get out of there and go someplace else. Miller Hall will be basically fine, but it's the gym that we've got to take down today. And let's see. Let me go through my list here to see if there's anything else. If you brought a meal in a nice little quilted, insulated, cutesy little casserole container, thank you so much. We were careful not to put those in the oven, as you'll appreciate. You'll find those on the pew that's right in the entrance to Miller Hall. So look for those there. And I think that's all the announcements that we need to make. Thank you so much for being here. Look forward to continuing our fellowship today over the meal. Let me take us to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you because of the richness of your grace to us in the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, in the way we see his work demonstrated in the lives of your people. And so, Father, you're so wise to connect us as you connect us and unite us with yourself. Through Jesus, you unite us with one another. And so thank you for the fellowship of this body that we've heard about in testimony this morning, that we've heard about, that we see in things like service Saturday and 100 other things that happen around here. The fellowship of the body here is rich and life-giving and nourishing. And so, Father, as we enjoy food together, we ask you to enrich our fellowship one more time. Enrich our fellowship as we enjoy being together, as we enjoy talking and visiting and enrich our fellowship as we push and pull one another towards Jesus, even in a simple event as a congregational meal. Lord, bless us as we think about stewardship. Open our minds and open our hearts to think your thoughts after you as we see how we might be part of blessing this body and making this body a blessing in our own city and beyond the North State Street corridor and even unto the whole world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would take our little things and do much. Help us look for even little opportunities to make much of you. Hear us, receive our thanks, Father, in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.